We are going to now talk to someone who is no stranger to Chai FM. We're going to talk to Emmanuel Miller of Honest Reporting, who does the most amazing work in ensuring that Israel is accurately reflected in the media, which has a propensity to not do that. So good afternoon to you, Emmanuel. Are you with us?
Good afternoon. Lovely to hear from you.
Oh, and such a clear line. How fantastic. Emmanuel, apparently a New Zealand newspaper has referred to the number of Palestinian refugees as 7 million. What's the problem with that?
Well, there's a number of problems with that. First of all, it's actually interesting if you look in the New Zealand Herald piece. In one sentence, it refers to the 1948 war saw 700,000 Palestinians uprooted from their homes, creating a still ongoing refugee crisis. In the following sentence, it says today there are more than 7 million Palestinian refugees. Now, which is it, 700,000 refugees or 7 million? The answer given by the UN and other seemingly respectable organizations is that the number has grown, but that does not sit well because the definition of a refugee is somebody who is forced from their home. And it does not apply to their children and to their grandchildren. So the definition given to Palestinians and Palestinians alone is different to the rest of the world. And that is a fiction created in part by the UN. And the media here are perpetuating that lie. So at the very best, it should say today there are more than 7 million Palestinian refugees, according to the UN or according to whichever UN organization body this might be. But it's certainly not true to say there are 7 million Palestinian refugees.
Okay, that's certainly an interesting position to take. Talk to me about CNN's website coverage of the deal of the century.
Well, let me just go and open this one up. This is a fairly standard article talking about the deal of the century. And in the middle of it, it mentions what the Palestinians would be required to do. It says they should recognize the Jewish state. They should drop demands for Jerusalem as a shared capital. Listings as they are. And then in the middle, it says end financial support for alleged, and then scare quotes around the word, terrorists. Now, what do you mean by alleged terrorists? These are people with blood on their hands who have deliberately killed Jews for the crime of being Jewish and living in the Jewish homeland. There's no alleged about it, and there's certainly no need to include quote marks around the word terrorists. So if you're not going to call them terrorists, what are you going to call somebody who's killed Jews for the crime of being Jewish? Again, that's absolutely disgusting and unnecessary.
So just, it kind of interests me in both those stories that we've spoken about, the New Zealand newspaper as well as CNN. Has Honest Reporting kind of taken issue with them, or do you feel like choose the battles that you fight?
We understand with regard to the former that it's now become an almost accepted fiction that there are 7 million Palestinian refugees, and to treat millions of people who weren't even born at the time as refugees, it's now become so widespread that to fight against it, people will say, well, it's the way the UN defines it, so you're just going to have to go and suck it up. So in that one, we've just tweeted about it and documented it. With the alleged terrorist, we might take it further.
It is just interesting to me how, I'm jumping out of my box a little bit here, but when reference is made to the 7 million Palestinian refugees, there's never ever any equivalence made to the Jewish refugees from the Arab countries, which were an incredibly similar amount, if I'm not mistaken.
Absolutely. There's around 1 million Jewish refugees. My grandfather actually is from Baghdad. I'm myself am British, but my grandfather ended up in Britain after leaving Baghdad, and most of the Jewish community there were forced out. Many ended up in Israel. So that's also something that's barely recognized. But then again, I think Jews have traditionally seen the future rather than looking back to the past in terms of we have all these claims, but there's no point in getting stuck on those claims. We might as well just try and build a life for ourselves instead of seeking revenge and trying to look as victims. With regard, I want to go back though to the Palestinian refugees, which I find this claim to be particularly insidious because it weaponizes a legitimate issue. There were certainly people who were forced out of their homes in the 1948 war. There were people who, through no fault of their own, were left homeless. I'm not going to suppose that every single Arab, every single Palestinian, as they're called now, would be to blame for the situation they found themselves in. But then to go and take every single person and then all of their descendants and define them as a refugee, it can only get worse and worse as time goes on. It's not, as opposed to all other refugee situations around the world, which get better, this is one which becomes a bigger and bigger issue that Israel has to, quote unquote, answer for. That is something that is particularly disingenuous, and it's something which we expect the media to realize and see through. So not questioning the UN and by treating their word as almost divine, it's really perpetuating this issue.
That is fascinating, and also the fact that it just seems that Palestinian refugee status is the only one that can be inherited, you know, from generation to generation to generation. It does make you think, and if you go back to that Khartoum conference of the three no's, no recognition of Israel, no peace talks with Israel, you know, there's an agenda that one has to recognize that goes behind this issue of the refugees. But maybe that's not the place to talk about that now. And finally, apparently the New York Times characterizing the Palestinian president's life work as seeking peace.
Correct. So a story by David Halbfinger and Isabel Kirshner, filed on the 29th of January, opened with the words, "For Mahmoud Abbas, the ailing octogenarian president of the Palestinian Authority, his life's work, a viable state side by side with Israel, is quickly slipping away." Now, if anybody has been following even remotely closely, his life's work has not been seeking a viable state side by side with Israel, but a state in place of Israel. This man, his expertise, if you want to talk about his expertise, his doctorate was about Holocaust denial. He's certainly not a man who's seeking to really compromise and build a state side by side with Israel. And it's just a complete and utter lie. There's certainly people who would say that, you know, maybe he'll be open to negotiating with Israel on his terms, but on his terms are never terms that Israel would accept. They're terms that would end Israel's existence.
Emmanuel Miller, as always, thank you so much for your very valuable contribution to us here on Chai FM. We really appreciate the fact that you talk to us once a week.
Not a problem. And
it's just so unbelievably informative. And we very often talk about your website because it is important and you do such important work. So, Emmanuel, thank you. And hopefully, same time next week, we'll be getting some more updates from you.
Looking forward.